but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, mm-hmm. who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Amen. The next one is 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each has received a gift, to use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Camila. Well, we are coming to the end of our series. We only have, after today, we only have two more messages to go. And then we're starting, get ready, we're starting a new series on the book of Psalms. Eager anticipation in the room, which is good. Good to hear that. Yeah, very seldom that we've had a chance to go through the book of Psalms. We're not going to go through all 150, but don't worry. We'll pick out the highlights and help you along there. I'm so happy this morning that our grade 6 kids are with us. This is the first Sunday service that they have been in. 2 weeks ago, 10 of them gave their heart to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That is amazing. And I'm hoping many of them will be baptized very, very soon. We'll talk about that at the end. So as we said, this morning, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit again. And the thought this morning, the title of the message this morning is Gifted to Serve the Common Good. Gifted to serve the common good. Just to let you know, for those of you who do want to ask questions on this, we will. We do have a code on the bottom of the screen, but we also have our slido.com if you want to go there. You can join us afterwards. We will no longer do it here. We will do it in the boardroom, which is just in the back over there. If you need any help to find where that is, we'll be happy to guide you there. Let's go through some of these verses. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. Let's look at these verses again, because we see something here which is quite wonderful, and we always want to ground ourselves in the triune God. Look at what you see here. Yes, you see varieties of gifts, varieties of service, varieties of activities, but look at what you see. You see the same Spirit. You see the same Lord. You see the same God. And we wanted to make this extremely clear. The triune God is the origin of all of these gifts. These gifts are not just, you know, apart from him. And, you know, we've talked about this, even at the very beginning of our series, that the Trinity himself is a relational community. And in that community, there is serving of one another. There is loving and honoring and delighting in one another. It is a wonderful community of love and service and honor and delight. And God enlarged that. God invited human beings to join him in that kind of community. And so the community that we have today as believers should mirror what we see happening in the community of the Trinity. There should be love. There should be honor. There should be delighting. We should delight. You know that? We really, really should. When someone has progress in the Christian life, there should be joy in our hearts. as we see that when you know, someone who is addicted to something, there's an overcoming of that addiction, we should be happy. We should delight that God has broken through. When God gives us the gifts, it is for one particular purpose. It is to express God. It is to express the things of God that are within us. I want to show you a quote here, which kind of talks along these lines. What does the fact of the triune nature of God suggest about the church? The key point is that the church is a Trinitarian community. Don't just think it's something about mankind. It's not. It's a Trinitarian community. The church is the enlarged community of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the church is essentially social and relational, bound together by mutual love and self-giving, interdependence because of Jesus. We're going to talk a lot more about that, but we wanted to make sure this week we got you ready for next week when we talk about the church. Know that what you're going to see today is not divorced from the church. It's not just your individual thing. You know, it's kind of, the West is an interesting monster, actually. We are ferociously independent. Have you noticed that? Especially those of you who've come from other countries and you're used to, you know, this kind of community kind of thing. You come to Canada and it's like, wow, everybody's kind of out for their own thing. The church should not be that way. The church is social. The church is relational. The church should mirror the Trinity's community. That's what we're all about. And so this morning, when we're talking about the gifts that the Spirit gives, it's not for you personally, individually, for you to be exalted. It is for the church. And I want to start off by giving you this thought. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to each of the members of a church so that you can be a contributor. I'm being very deliberate on these words. Be a contributor. Be a contributor. The Holy Spirit is furnishing you, giving you all kinds of gifts and empowering. We're going to see it right now. But don't miss this. It's not just about you. It's not so you can, you know, you can raise your hand and say, I'm a prophet. How good it is that I can discern spirits. That's not the point of the Holy Spirit gifting you. It's so that you can be a contributor in the community that he has placed you. And so here we do see there are varieties of gifts, the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are activities, various activities, but the same God. And so just know this. God gives his body, God gives his church all kinds of gifts. Various kinds of gifts, but those gifts are so you can serve. Those gifts are so you can be active. Okay, I think we got our point across. I can probably sit down now, which is good. We do have more to say. Be a contributor. And I think you should ask yourself this morning, and I'm going to ask you this a few times, am I a contributor? Am I a contributor? All right, let's look at a couple of verses because, you know, some of you may be saying, well, I'm not necessarily sure I've got a gift. Let's have a look at some of these verses. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 12:7, and I want to pick up a verse from 1 Peter 4:10 as well. Look what it says. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you are an each in this room, raise your hand. Come on, you didn't get it yet. Okay. Okay, let me add one more. To each person. Okay. Each believer If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and he is your Savior, you should be raising your hand to each, okay? So let me just ask you one. I will ask one more time because I know sometimes I'm a bit confusing. I'm British, you know, so sometimes my logic is a bit skewed and everything else. Okay, so let's try this again. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That means evidence, proof of the Spirit. The Spirit is showing up in some way in your life. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you are an each, raise your hand. We got a lot of good eaches in here. This is good. And look what it says in, this is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Look at this. As each has received a gift. If you have received a gift from the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. Okay, here's what we don't want this morning, okay? I want to correct something before you even start down this path. You can put your hands down right now, okay? You're welcome. Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to walk out of this room this morning and say, "What is my gift, Ian?" I am not focusing on gifts this morning, but I am totally focusing on gifts this morning. I am not focusing on gifts this morning so you can go away and say, "I just don't know what it is." We're focusing on gifts this morning because the point is God has given you a gift to be a contributor. And you should be asking yourself, am I a contributor? Look at this one from 1 Corinthians 12:11 and 1 Peter 4:11. We have these two verses. And these are empowered. That's these people, these gifts that you've been given. These are empowered by the one and the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit doesn't just give you a gift. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to carry that gift through. Then it says, look at this in verse 11. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. God is the one. The Holy Spirit is the one who is giving you the strength to carry out what he has given you. And one more thing. The Spirit gives gifts to each Christian as he wills. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, and these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, and this is important, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Spirit is giving gifts to his body, to the body, as he wills. It's his will. Whatever you have been given, that is what the Holy Spirit, that is what God feels, that is what I need this person to have. And you, here's what the rest of Corinthians 12 talks about. Don't compare. Don't compare. Don't diminish. Don't look down. Don't compare what you've got with somebody else. Don't do that. Don't also look down on yourself. No, don't do that. Just know this. You have been given a gift. The Holy Spirit is there empowering you to be active with that gift, to be a contributor for the health of the church. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 12:7. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good. The Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are others-centered. The gift you have from the Holy Spirit, look to the person on your left. Look to the person on your right. That's who the gift is for. You got it. But it's not just about you. It's others centered. It's people that are around you. That's why you have been given that gift to be a contributor. And I would ask you to consider this morning. Would you please consider how to contribute to the common good here at CIT? God has given you a gift, and he's given it to you for the common good. He's placed you in this body right here called CIT, Church in Toronto. And I'm asking you this morning to consider, how can you contribute to the common good here? Let's not get this in the theoretical realm. Oh yeah, isn't that great? We're all here for the common good. We're all here for the common good. We're all here for the common good, and nobody does anything. And no one serves, and no one acts, and oh, I'm just so glad that I'm gifted. And I'm, you know, I got the power to go along with it as well, and I'm here for the common good. What are you doing? Nothing. That's not what God has called us to. And let me highlight this by telling you what a big problem is here in Western society. We live in a consumerist society. Have you heard about this before? Consumerism. So I started to check out this week and find out, okay, can I find out some good quotes on consumerism, consumerist society? And I came across this Polish, there he is, his name is Zygmunt Bauman. I'm probably not pronouncing his name correctly. He passed away January of this past year, this year. And he says this, a consumerist culture is a nowist culture. And if you're not quite sure what that means, he goes on, he says, that values immediate and quickly acquired satisfaction. Nowist means now. When do I need to get that car?
Now.
When do I? Yes. Wow, some people need a new car. I don't know. It's okay. Steve, you know about this? Yeah, that's the nowist. And you know what? I have credit cards. I have lines of credit. I have all kinds of things so I can get that new house now. Look, and there's nothing wrong with having a car. There's nothing wrong with having a house. But let's go a little bit further because there's something going on under this nowist culture. Go ahead, Regina. Because of the emergency of being on trend, some of you know it's on point, or even ahead of the pack with fashion, hairstyles, or mobile electronics, we are constantly on the lookout for new ways to revise ourselves through consumer products. So the more we buy, the more we feel good about ourselves. That's a consumerist society. We've bought into the notion, I'll be happy if I have more. This is completely different from a generation or two ago, which was happy the more they could contribute. The society that is, you know, those World War I, World War II veterans, they were all about contributing, contributing, building, building, building. And we're here after them consuming. Consuming, consuming. They got so much happiness by producing. We get so much happiness, or we're told we're going to get so much happiness when you buy. There's a new iPhone coming out. You only have the iPhone 7? You're behind the curve. You need the 8. Why? You need the 8. There's never any reason. It's just, that's what you need. We live in a consumerist society. And so he says, this is shocking, but he means it in a sociological point of view. Through a new purchase, we can be born again.
My goodness.
I know they talk about being born again in the Bible. And that means that God comes and gives you new life, right? You get a second birth. But this is the same experience that people are going through the more they purchase. Like, I got a new car. I'm born again. I can renew myself. And look, he says, or start over with ease. This should be interesting for some of you who are a little bit older in the room. I don't have the quote on there, but I'm going to read it anyway. Because the consumerist society, you know, things have changed. And you, those of you who are older, you know this. The values, what was normal in the olden days, and the language of the olden days has kind of been eclipsed now. And so in a consumerist culture, this word here, I'm about to say, responsibility. Think about what responsibility means to you. In a consumerist society, it means responsibility to oneself. You owe this to yourself. You deserve it. That's a big change. And a responsible choice in a consumerist society is those moves serving the interest and satisfying the desires of the self. I hope I'm making my point this morning. A consumerist society is a me society. It's all about me. And the last quote I'll give you, which is surprising, shocking, but shouldn't be, is this, and I may have to explain this just a bit. These trends also signal the vanishing of the generalized other. That means the person sitting next to you, that's the other, as the object of ethical responsibility and moral concern. Am I concerned about the people sitting beside me? In a consumerist society, the answer is not really. Or does it benefit me? Does it somehow help me? Well, brothers and sisters, friends, this is the society you are in. You're living here in Toronto, 2017. You are right in the middle of this. Our society is telling you to be happy, you need to buy more things. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says you are part of God's relational community that serves others for what is best for the health of all. What a difference. What a massive difference. We've got a society that we're living in, sending our kids to school in, going to work in every day. Every TV program, every media outlet, they're telling you, buy more, consume more, and yet the Bible is telling you, that's not the life you're called to. You're called to a life that cares about other people. You have been given something so precious by the Holy Spirit to serve the common good of others. Wow. The Spirit gave you gifts so you can serve this congregation's good. This congregation's good. Not so you can say, well, look at me. That's not what the Holy Spirit has done. The Holy Spirit has given you gifts for you to be a contributor. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit has given you gifts to be a contributor. One of the things that we talked about as we were preparing this message was we are so indebted to our volunteers at this church. We can't do what we do every week without our volunteers. There are hidden volunteers right now in the basement taking care of children. There are hidden volunteers right now making sure these slides come up. Okay, you think, oh yeah, Ian, you could do it all by yourself. You're fooling yourself. Not a chance. Without our volunteers here, we could not do what we do here. And we treasure our volunteers. The more volunteers we have, the more we can do for the Lord. The Holy Spirit has given you at least one gift. This morning, as I mentioned earlier, don't ask yourself, what is my gift? That's the wrong question to be asking. Ask yourself, am I a contributor at CIT or just a consumer? You know, it is possible, right? It's possible to be here every single week just being a consumer. I'll get to that because I wanted to give you a couple of indicators of how you know you're just a consumer. You may be endlessly church shopping, going from one church to the next. What's in this for me? I prefer this over whatever. Church shopping is okay until you find a place But when you find a place, put your roots down and start to contribute. That's one sign that you are a consumer. And I get it. For some of you, that might be a temporary thing, so don't be bothered by that. Another sign that you're a consumer, you just attend Sunday service to hear the messages and to be part of the worship. You're a consumer. You're a consumer if you walk out of here today and you say, I didn't get anything from that message. And look, this is not about me. You can have anybody up here. But if your mentality is, I didn't get anything out of that message today, you're a consumer. I'll tell you why. Because when the Holy Spirit helps us to put these messages together, He's helping us to put these messages together for the common good. These messages are not about you. These messages are about the common good, what God wants to speak to His church. Amen?
Amen.
We need this word this morning. I know it's not an easy word, but we need this word. Am I a contributor? Or am I just a consumer? I would ask you, I just ask you to make an inward determination this morning that you don't want to be a consumer. Could you do that? If you find yourself, you're like, Ian, that's me. I am a consumer. That's all I am. I would ask you to make an inward determination that you don't just want to be a consumer in your Christian life. Make a determination that you want to be a contributor here at CIT. And again, if this is your church home, that's what you should be doing. You've been gifted, you've got the power to do it, and you can do it. Make that determination and ask God, how do you want me to serve for the common good at CIT? Let me give you an illustration. How many of you have ever been on a cruise liner? Anybody? Ship? Cruise ship? Anybody? How many would like to go on a cruise ship? Because we don't have that many. I was like, wow, I was expecting a lot more hands to go up. I want to go on something like that. And my wife says, I don't want to go on something that big with no land around me. So I'm like, okay, we're landlocked, no problem. No problem.
I want to go to the Titanic.
That would be great. No, you don't want to go on a Titanic. Okay. So, but I want to talk about the kind of characteristics of these cruise ships. And look, I have nothing. This is not this morning saying, okay, you shouldn't go on a cruise. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I'm using this as an illustration only. But on a cruise ship, you know what goes on. It's time to relax. It's time to get a tan. It's time to be served. And, you know, as a person who's on a cruise ship, I get to evaluate, don't I? Well, did I like the food? Did I not like the food? Did I like the entertainment? How was the music? Hey, how is the crew? Do we have a good captain? Am I comfortable? Would I sail with them again? You get to evaluate all those kinds of things. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because there's a big difference between a cruise ship and a cargo ship. Anybody want to go on a cargo ship? All right, we got one brave volunteer. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? You just know that it's totally different, right? It's like, wait a second. I didn't. No. It's not like if someone said, "Hey, do you want to go for a ride on a ship?" You're thinking, "Oh, cruise. Yeah, I want to go." And then if you go to the dock and that's what's there, you're probably thinking, "Where's the cruise ship?" He says, "This is it," because you know what happens on this thing. On the cargo ship, it has a particular purpose. It has a particular destination. The captain knows what course to take. And everybody has a role. And everybody has to carry out that role. And if you don't carry out your role, it's noticed. Cruise ship, cargo ship. I think we all know where we'd like to be. But my question to you this morning is, as you are here at CIT, is this like a cruise ship to you? Or do you see this as, you know what? I need to do my part. I need to do my part. The Holy Spirit has gifted you to be a contributor, not just a consumer. Jackie brought something up a little bit earlier. Can you go to that very final picture I've got there? Because I want you to know this. We want you to be a healthy consumer and a healthy contributor. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're looking for. We don't just say, okay, we just want you to be a contributor and that's it. We want you to eat well. We want you to work well. Not for us. For the glory of God. Okay. Some of you in this room are serving as you should. Some of you in this room are not contributing as you should here at CIT. So those of you who are not contributing that much, you need to learn to say yes. Say yes to God. Unfortunately, there's a number in this room, and it's not a big number, but it's still a number, that are contributing too much. You're serving too much, and it's not good for you. And in fact, what it's doing is it's burning you out. And you have got to stop saying yes. And you've got to learn to say, oh, wait a second. You got to learn to say no. Let me illustrate it for you in this way. I brought this hula hoop up. No, you are not about to see a demonstration of a 54-year-old man using a hula hoop at all. Okay? I couldn't do it when I was a little boy, and I still can't do it at 54. It's not going to happen. But I bring this up for a reason. I wanted something large enough so everybody could see. Let's say that this is what the Holy Spirit, the grace that the Holy Spirit has apportioned to you as a believer. As long as you operate inside of this circle, you are totally fine. You are filled with grace. You have fulfillment when you serve. And when you are finished, you have so much joy and cannot wait to do it again. And that's the way we all should be. But burnout happens when I'm no longer operating in this circle, and someone said, hey, so-and-so, you know, we have a need, and you have a good heart, and you know things need to be done, and you say yes, but the yes doesn't belong here. The yes is out here. As long as you operate in here, God's grace is poured out on you. You've got all kinds of energy. You can do anything that he calls you to do. But the moment somebody asks you to do something out here, you're in trouble. And I believe there are some people in this room who are there, and you have to learn to say no. Some in this room need to say yes. Some in this room need to say no. I've got too much on my plate. I can't possibly do that. We need more volunteers so we can do more for the Lord. Are you a contributor or are you a consumer? We want you to be a healthy consumer and we want you to be a healthy contributor. I'm done. We're like 5 minutes early. Which is good. Let me pray. Let me pray for us. And I just have one announcement in the end, and then we're good to go. Father, thank you so much for the clarity that is in your word. God, you have given each Christian, each believer in Jesus Christ, a gift. And not only have you given the gift, you've also empowered us to carry out that gift. So God, we're praying that you would open our eyes to see, because some of us in this room, we need to see that you've given us something. But God, we just pray that we, in our heart of hearts, we would want to be a contributor here at CIT for the common good, what benefits other people. So God, we just pray, if there's something that is stopping us, if there's excuses, if there are concepts, whatever it is, we pray in the name of Jesus, that would be thrown down and that we would be released to serve for the common good of the brothers, the sisters, and people here at CIT. God, we expect you to do wonderful things in our hearts. Help us to see where we can serve, how we can serve. And God, we ask all of this in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. One announcement for you. We will have baptisms. We're having a baptismal service on July 23rd. It'll be at our 10 a.m. service. So far, we have one adult and two young people. I believe that list is going to grow. That number is going to grow. So if you are interested in being baptized, Bob, could you just stand for a second? This is Bob Duncan. He will help you. He will answer questions for you. Thanks, Bob. So, and if you want to talk to me as well, that's totally fine as well. I'm more than happy to help you with that. But if you have come to this point in your life when you say, look, I want to make a stand for Jesus Christ. I know the Bible says I should believe and I should be baptized. Don't delay. Do it. It's time. No more excuses. Just do it. Amen?